This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. We've got a busy Wednesday ahead of us here. What do I do with you? I got that chair for Plinsky, and he didn't show. That was intentional.
You never gave me the notice.
That's a nice chair.
Gave me the notice.
Oh, my goodness. Doug, dude, and Randy Bush.
You've got to let me in on these Wednesday. Things. I can fill my part if you let me in.
Here. That's okay. Hey, coming up on the show today. We have got a lot of guests in studio. Jim Holton's going to join us, talk Tri-City Storm hockey. And because of last night's action, they will have home ice advantage, which is one game if it gets that far. They will play at home Friday and Saturday, 7:30 Friday, 7:05 Saturday. That's the pertinent information right now against Sioux Falls. I will say this so that I don't have to say it in front of Coach Holton when he comes in here. The Storm, this whole season boggles my mind, Randy, and I keep bringing it up. They have been so bad for so long. There's no other way to say it. They turned the corner, and now, record-wise, they're the best team left in the entire playoffs.
And you know what? And they weren't that far away from winning the Anderson Cup to begin with in terms of having the overall best record. And, again, we don't want to say this around Jim because he might get a big head, but the job he has done to take that program that really was struggling, not looking good, quite frankly, front office wasn't as well run as you wanted it to be. You kind of saw some differences with when Bliss was here. You kind of saw how well it was done. We kind of moved away from that. Jim Holton has done a fabulous job in terms of turning that around, and they are a very entertaining team to watch. I saw them play and wrap it up on Saturday. Without a doubt, much better than what the Omaha Lancers put out on the ice. No question about it. They were the better team.
And now, you know, is there actually pressure for the first time ever? I mean, there's no reason to ever feel pressure, but now, I'm sorry to say, now they're the favorite, even though, as we said before the playoffs, this Western Conference was so even. But we'll talk about that. They will play Sioux Falls, and then the 1 and 2 seed are both out in the East, so we're down to the 3 and 4. Jack Kanguish, Nebraska starting defensive end out of Wood River. He's great for media. He's not only great for our area, he's great for media. He's a talker. He's got some stories. I mean, the kid carries the American flag. He does the flexing after the sack. He takes raccoon selfies. I mean, he's got everything.
The Twitter game is strong in that one. The Twitter game is very strong in that one.
Jack is going to join us at the end of the show. But coming up, we're going to talk Loper football as part of our Loper Link, brought to you by CharterWest National Bank of Kearney. You have the reasons. They have the loans. See Russ Smith today at CharterWest National Bank. There's a lot of things going on with spring sports, Randy, that are very important to the postseason for both Loper baseball, softball, tennis. The golf team is competing right now in the MIAAs, but we will have a true spring game for the Loper football team coming up on Saturday. We'll talk about that, but the 6th Annual Loper Football Backers Dinner and Scholarship Fundraiser, which is essential, as we've known since the move, even before going into the MIAA, as you can tell with this being the 6th Annual. All programs needed money. Football's number one everywhere you go as far as the costly sport and and where you need money. And their banquet will be at the Eunice Conference Center Tuesday, May the 5th, and social begins at 5:30. Brad Koenig is the man that got this all going, and the head football coach is Josh Lamberson. They're both with us here today, and you're wearing your Loper blue as I anticipated.
It's kind of a Wednesday thing. By the way, the irony here, the one guy that actually works for the Lopers isn't wearing any Loper gear. I'm just pointing it out. You got the right color, Coach. You got the right color, no question. But there's no Loper logo on that. Brad and I got the memo.
I appreciate the support right there, then.
Well, we've got to work on collared shirts and Loper ties.
I have a Loper tie, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah, I do.
We'll work on that.
I need to invest in one of those. That's what I need, yeah.
Well, we got a lot of people in UNK land that are still trying to get the blue with all the coaching changes going here. Coach Lofton's the only one that was in a comfortable spot since he'd been here a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, nice and comfortable. Well, we can, you know, with the Under Armour deal, they'll work on it. I'm sure their apparel thing is going to go okay for him.
I want to talk with Brad first because we'll also talk spring football with Coach Lamberson. But, Brad, obviously, this is an essential part if UNK wants to keep up with the Joneses here. I mean, it was tough enough in the RMAC, and we've beat the horse to death here with the MIAA, but the Loper football backers have been essential. This banquet has been huge in helping. Just talk about how this all finally got together 6 years ago.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right, and thanks for having us here this morning. You know, 6 years ago, we were in the RMAC conference and observed painfully that we were not on par with at least two other teams in the conference. It was not an arms race, but they had more football scholarships than we did. And myself and Wayne Garltz said, you know what, that's just not right. If we want to be on an even playing field with the rest of the teams in the conference, we need to have the bullets in our belt to get the kids. And so we met with Daryl Morris, the head coach then at the time, and we talked about it, and we decided that we would do a fundraiser, put a fundraiser together, and it was hastily put together. We did it in 6 weeks, and it was just an all-out scrimmage, if you want to. I mean, everybody was running in 16 different directions, and we did the best we could. We put it together. It was successful. Our first event was successful. We've built upon that every year, and now I think we've got a recipe that works pretty well. We've got a good group of this is a community-based event to support UNK football, and we've got a good group of people that care passionately about UNK football, and that's why we're doing it. And we've got it developed and nurtured to the point that it's working pretty well. We've reached out to former players, and many of them are now involved. We've reached out to the coaching staff and said, hey, we'd love to have you help. Obviously, the foundation and the athletic director are happily involved. So it's a team effort to make this work, but that's kind of how it worked. And you know what? You mentioned the MIAA. That has been affectionately referred to as the SEC of Division II, and I think that's a very accurate description. Very tough conference. And of course, Josh comes from one of our people down the road, and most of his assistants do too. So we're well aware of what it takes to be successful.
Brad, I imagine that learning curve from year one when you did it in 6 weeks to year two, that was a pretty steep learning curve there. From year two to now, what are some things that maybe you guys are doing a little bit different? What are some of the lessons that you kind of learned that makes this event a little bit better than it was even in the first couple of years?
Well, first of all, we're better organized. And I mean, we've been planning for a long time on this. So, you know, a lot of people think you just peg a date on the map or on the calendar and say, okay, this is when we're going to do our deal. And you call Paul Eunice and say, okay, this is when we want to do it. And then everybody shows up and it's a good deal. No, it doesn't work that way. You have to do a lot of planning. And so we do. We have a great group of people that plan for it. We we have done a nice job, I think, of reaching out to people that have a special spot in their heart for Loper football, and they've supported us with either live or silent auction items. We've also reached out and brought in people that love Loper football to come to our event. And the first year, we didn't get nearly enough folks there because we didn't have time to get out any invitations or ask. And so we've grown our universe as far as the number of people that attend and get happily involved. We've grown the universe for our silent and live auction items. And it's promoted better. I think we've just done an overall better job. So, you know, it's working.
Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter, along with Brad and Josh here, talking about the Loper Football Backers Dinner and Scholarship Fundraiser. Now that you've been here a little while, Josh, I suppose you've got a better handle on what you saw from this side of the table, being a lifer in the MIAA. Mm-hmm. Now, we haven't had the opportunity to have somebody from the other side say, hey, this is what we've seen, this is where we're lacking, this is where we're okay. So where is UNK football compared to where you've been as far as the scholarships, the money, and what they're doing?
Sure. You know, first and foremost, just to kind of piggyback on what Brad said, and it being a team effort for the Loper football backers and the banquet and the event that they put on, it's absolutely amazing to me, you know, just being here the 4 months that I've been here and to see the teamwork that goes into this. And it's all volunteer hours. None of these people are paid. They do it because they have a passion for UNK and specifically Loper football, and I think that's a really special thing. Very honored to be a part of that. You know, where we're at as far as scholarship-wise, you know, the max number that you can have in Division II is 36 full-ride scholarships. That's in-state, out-of-state, however you want to split them up. You know, we're not quite there yet. I think, you know, just looking at the past numbers since I've been here through the last decade, you know, we're a lot better off than what we were even a couple years ago, and that's through a lot of generous donations and endowments that people have given. And then also this Loper Football Backer Banquet event really provides a huge support system for us in maintaining the lifeblood of our program in recruiting. You know, without this event and the private donations that we have, you know, we'd really struggle to compete in the MIAA. So, you know, people that have volunteered their time, their money, their resources for the betterment of the program is very much appreciated. And I can't tell you how much that means to everybody involved in our athletic department. But, you know, we're not quite there yet. I think there's plans in place to get to that point as far as a scholarship amount and dollar amount that Dr. Plinsky has in place. And he's really good at allocating resources and going out and finding creative ways to create revenue and resources that we can use and put into that fund. So I have no doubt that we're on the right track and getting to that spot. But you know, until that point in time, we're going to use and what we have and feel very blessed to use it.
You kind of already mentioned, Coach, some of the moving parts that you kind of have, the things that Dr. Plinsky is trying to do. Obviously, mm-hmm. the group that Brad is heading up here, what they're doing, a lot of moving pieces moving in that direction. What is kind of the time frame for you to be to the point where you say, you know, we're now keeping up with the Joneses, that we've now caught up? Now, obviously, you want to get ahead as
right.
well, but what is kind of, is it a three-year plan, a five-year plan to kind of getting caught up where you really want to be?
You sound like a government guy right there.
It kind of is. It kind of is. And it's one of those things, you know, in athletics and in the ever-changing culture that we have, it's a little bit of an unknown, to be real honest with you. You know, the other institutions that I've been at, you know, you don't have to worry about private donations or endowments or things like that to fund their athletic program. It's fully funded by the institution, and so it's a little bit different here at UNK. You know, we're on a little bit different scale. Right, wrong, or indifferent, that's okay. But you know, as far as a specific 3-year, 5-year, 10-year plan, whatever it is, I don't know if you can necessarily pinpoint that. I think, you know, sooner than later, obviously, is the goal for everybody involved. But I think you know, you kind of take it as it comes, and it's an evolving strategic plan to get to that point in time. So I really can't give you a specific date on when we're going to be fully funded or how we're going to necessarily do it. But, you know, I know that there's good people in place that are a lot smarter than I am that are in charge of that, and I'm going to follow their lead.
Brad, I'll ask you a question that has been talked about on this show, and it's a little elephant in the room, and I suppose it can make some people uncomfortable, but we went through the coaching change. And I'm sure some people weren't fired up about that. Others were extremely fired up about that. How has that affected your organization?
You know, that's a great question, and it's a fair question. Whenever you do a change, whether that's in a coaching team or an administration, there's always going to be changes. And, you know, we have people that have embraced the change. We have other people that are very, very loyal to the former group, and I respect that. Those were all my friends, too. So I think everybody, my perspective personally is it's bigger than who the coaches are. It's UNK football. And that's why I'm engaged today, because it's all about UNK football. And I think that's the way that a large percentage of the people are looking at it. Everybody aspires to do better, to be more competitive. So that's why we're all in. Now, there are some people that aren't, and that's okay.
Probably some new people, too.
And we've got some new people that have said, you know what, I kind of like this. This is a good deal. So, you know, I think in balance, it's good. We're moving forward. That's the most important thing. I think we're all hopeful and optimistic.
And I'll piggyback that. Josh, you've been so busy trying to make the football team good. This is the other side of it.
You're right.
You're probably not getting as much sleep as you're probably getting the average amount of sleep for a football
coach. But yeah.
How much have you been actually able to, let's face it, big-time boosters at every institution like to know the coach, say maybe that they're a little friends with the coach. How much of that have you been able to do?
You know, quite a bit, actually. Right when recruiting was over with, that first Wednesday in February, till really the start of spring practice, we had our off-season morning conditioning and things like that, but for the most part, those were done by 9 o'clock in the morning, rather than spring ball prep and some things like that we had to get done, I had some time, and so I think Dr. Plinsky counted it up. We had somewhere around 64 off-campus meetings with all sorts of civic organizations, private donors, boosters of all kinds, just all sorts of things that we'd go out, and it was more of a meet and greet and not necessarily talk scheme or X's and O's or things like that, but just, you know, for me to get to know them and them to get to know me and what I'm about, my personality and my philosophies and goals and visions for our program. And so it was absolutely fantastic. So I did have really quite a bit of time to go out and meet those people and try to, really impact some lives that I normally wouldn't get to.
How has that transition for the players been? I mean, one of the things that strikes me about you coming in, one of the great things about spring football is learning the new language. Everybody talks a little bit different. You change jersey colors, offense, defense. Some of those are more important than others,
There's
obviously.
Air horns. That's great.
Yeah. So how would you kind of perceive how that's gone for your players?
You know, really good. The players have embraced this to the max. You know, their energy, enthusiasm, attitude throughout the entire process has been fantastic. You know, obviously, learning a new language schematically, you're going to have those X's and O's errors, and execution isn't necessarily going to be perfect every day. But, you know, as long as you're playing hard and you're committed to the cause and you're playing with passion, playing for each other, and it comes from a place of love, you know, you can live with those execution errors. And these kids really have done that. Every single day we've thrown the gauntlet at them, and we've stretched them, you know, mentally and physically, and we've made it tough on purpose to see who's really going to be able to make it through the end of the tunnel. And these kids show up every day, and at the end of practice or the end of workouts, they kind of look at you and say, give me some more. And so I couldn't be more proud of a group of men that are going to go out there on Saturday and perform in the spring game.
Josh Lamerson, UNK football coach, and Brad Kernick with the Loper football backers are with us here for another few minutes on the Doug and Daddy show. Still set for a 1 o'clock go on Saturday. What's the format? Everybody can come out and watch the Lopers for free, but what are they going to see?
Absolutely. 1 o'clock kickoff. I say that on radio in quotations. 1 o'clock kickoff. We're actually not going to have a kickoff and kickoff return team, but everything else will be like a normal game format. We're going to have offense and defense is actually how we're going to split up in the teams. Offense will be on white. Defense will be in blue. Be on separate sidelines. We're essentially going to play ones versus twos. in the scoring format. Kind of go along with that. We're going to have 12-minute quarters, 5 minutes in between each quarter, a 20-minute halftime where they're going to do a lot of promotions. There's going to be Loperville, I think, opens at 10 o'clock. Mm-hmm. For all those that want to come partake in that, we're going to have a coaches meet and greet, I think, around 11, where we're actually going to be in Loperville. They're going to have face painting. The cheerleaders are going to be there. So it's going to be an event that I'm really excited about. And it's another chance to really evaluate our kids, to see when the bullets are flying, per se, how they're going to react with some people in the stands, and you're keeping score. And so, from our standpoint, it's another chance to evaluate kids, but it's an opportunity for those kids to go out and play football, you know, in front of people and go make plays and get excited for scoring touchdowns or getting a sack or whatever the case is. So, we're really excited to put this on and hopefully showcase some of the hard work that these kids have put in up to this point.
Obviously, the evaluations aren't done yet by any stretch of the imagination, but are there some players, is there a unit out there that you kind of look at and said, they kind of surprised me of how well they're doing? And conversely, is there another group that you're kind of looking at and like going, I hope we sign the right kids as they're coming in next year to fill in some holes?
It's one of those things in spring practice is, from year to year, you never really know if this is going to be the final representation of your football team. It's probably not. I would guess, just from the volume that we've installed both offensively and defensively, we've taken it pretty slow so our kids can't execute and allow themselves to play fast, so you're not having the paralysis by analysis, per se. So I think we'll probably look pretty different when the fall rolls around. But up to this point, I've been really impressed with our defensive line. Coach Shade has done a fantastic job with those kids, getting them to really buy into the scheme of the system on how they fit in as a whole on the defensive side of the ball. And then, conversely, on the offensive line, Coach Holtzclaw and what he's done with those guys up front has truly been incredible for the amount that we've put in. But then just for them to have really the small amount of execution errors that they've had on both sides of the ball up front, ultimately that's where it starts, I think, is a testament to them and their coaching.
Josh, a couple things on coaching. Right at the start of practice, you promoted mm-hmm. Ken Gordon to be associate head coach. I guess that seemed a little strange timing. Here we are. And
right.
There he is, associate head coach. What went into that decision?
There were a couple things. Initially when I brought Coach Gordon on, and obviously named him defensive coordinator and felt really, really good about that, it was kind of duties as assigned. But, Coach went above and beyond anything that I could have asked for and essentially is the defensive head coach. When we're in team meetings, I'm obviously up at the front, but being an offensive guy and being the offensive coordinator right now, I'm really probably more involved with that side of the football. And Coach has really taken over the reins on the defensive side, and there's no question on who the leader is over there. And so he's talking to them just like a head coach would talk to one side of the football. And so, he deserves it. He's a phenomenal recruiter, great ball coach on the field, but probably the best thing that I can say about Coach Gordon is he's a man of integrity. He's a great husband. He's a fantastic father, a great role model for our kids, and I think they really enjoy him. And, it was something that I felt that needed to be done because he deserved it.
Yeah, maybe I'm overanalyzing this a little bit, but you said as offensive coordinator right now, is it kind of the plan to
wow.
eventually, once you get it
that
installed?
That was something else. Yeah.
That follows up here. You said you've got one more guy to hire, and you can call me stupid, but I think you must know who it is already, and it's going to happen here. Can you enlighten us? And will that, as Randy said, be on that side of the ball?
Yes, he will be an offensive coach. We'll have 3-3, and then with the head coach kind of overseeing a little bit of everything. But, for this first year, I enjoy calling plays. I enjoy scheming things up. I enjoy working with the quarterbacks. And, so eventually, I could see myself possibly, I'm not ready to scratch that itch yet, to just be a CEO figurehead of a football program. Because I do really enjoy that part of it still. And so, but I could see myself moving out of that role. It all depends on who you have on your staff and what they're capable of doing. But we have a guy that's, I feel pretty good about. I can't say anything quite yet because I think HR would get upset with me in that regard.
We don't want that.
No, we definitely don't. We have some strong candidates in place, and I feel really good about the staff that we've been able to put together.
I don't care about it.
Hey, I've had to deal with the HR department over there. So
let's wrap it up with a couple more notes. Again, the 6th annual Loper Football Backers Dinner and Scholarship Fundraiser is Tuesday, May 5th, 5:30 at the Eunice Conference Center. Brad, give me some exact details. That social, I think, dinner in silent is silent auction.
Yeah, it starts with a social, and then, of course, the silent auction items are all going to be laid out there, and you can walk around. We're using Qtago, which is a software company, and it's utilized through your smartphone, and so you bid right there. And so that'll be fun. And then the live auction, I believe, starts at 7:30. No, excuse me. The meal starts at 7. The meal starts at 7, and then the live auction will start around 7:30-ish.
Any items that you wish to kind of promote?
I'm careful when I do that because, different things are attractive to different people, but we've got some really nice trips on there. Some of them are tropical-type vacations. Others are domestic vacations. Some are golf trips. Those are nice. We've got some really nice autographed sports memorabilia. I believe we have a framed, matted, autographed Tom Brady jersey. We've got a framed, matted, autographed Peyton Manning jersey. We've got an autographed football by Andrew Luck. And so we've got some of those kinds of things. And then, of course, your normal items that are on a silent auction. So just encourage people to come. Tickets are still available. And if anybody would like a ticket, obviously if they know me, look me up. Tanya Wagner, Gene Beerbaum, you'd talk to Tim Bruner. Or if you don't know any of those folks, just go on up to the athletic department. They've got tickets up there and can take care of you. So we're looking for between 500 and 600 people there that evening. It'll be a big event, a lot of excitement, a lot of enthusiasm. One of the things we're going to auction off, and this is fun, it'll be teams of players. And they will come do different tasks for whoever is a successful bidder. And they have recorded little videos promoting themselves. That is really fun. That is really fun. They're very creative.
And I think they can get everything registered, including getting a password and that sort of thing, to do all that at lopers.com as well.
Yep, and then also these tickets will be available at the spring game as well.
Yeah, so plenty of opportunities there.
Well, let's let you guys get on to the rest of your day, and we will see you at the banquet, and have a great spring game. Keep them healthy.
Yes, no question about it. Really appreciate you guys having us on. You guys do a lot for UNK Athletics, and go Lopers.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Josh.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks,
Josh
Brad.
Josh Lamberson, head football coach, Brad Koenig with the Loper Football Backers, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And that's not all the Loper news, Randy.
No, there's still that spring sports stuff kind of going out there, big time for the baseball, softball teams, tennis team as well, golf team. There is a ton of stuff. It's not exactly wrapping up just yet.
The Louis are going on.
The Louis are going on.
We didn't even talk to Josh about that, but the Louis are going to be like the ESPYs. And it's going on tomorrow night in the Ponderosa Room at the Nebraska Student Union. You can see all the nominees at lopers.com. Members of the Student Athletic Advisory Committee put the event together. Everyone's invited to attend. Starts at 6:30, and student athletes will then have fun after that. A way to have some fun with the student athletes, have all the sports kind of together. And so the inaugural Louis ceremonies will be tomorrow night, 6:30, there at the Student Union on campus. Also, baseball is at Washburn. As we said, what's going on right there, Randy, is Damon Day says we need to get at least three, and that's hard to do on the road. Mm-hmm. Washburn's good. 2-2 might get them a home series. They go 3-1, they're going to hang in that three slot, which really is the best case.
Yeah, preferable, yeah.
Softball team hit 7 home runs yesterday as they swept Shadron State and drove out there, played 10 innings because both games ended by the mercy rule. Kate Rui, 3 home runs in the first game, and 6 RBIs, and Aaron Dwyer homered in each game. Now for the Lopers softball team, they will play at Fort Hays State on Friday. And because they're just one game behind, they've got to win them both to take that spot over and make the MIAA tournament. A split would keep Hays still a game ahead of them. And then in a quirky move in the scheduling, which we talked about off-air, they will host Hays in games that mean nothing on Saturday at Harmon Park, but it'll give everybody a chance to say goodbye to the seniors.
It'll be senior day, yeah.
And wrap things up. So that's what's going on with softball. Tennis team is getting ready for the postseason as well. The 27th-ranked men, the second seed of the MIAA tournament that begins Friday in Springfield, Missouri. The first and third place matches wrap up on Sunday. Northwest Missouri State is the top seed, so they're trying to make it into the NCAA Division II national tournament.
And they will get that in, no question about it, because the facility they have at Springfield is kind of a regional facility. About half of it's indoors. So if the weather turns bad, they'd still be able to play. Be a little bit harder to watch, mind you, but at least they'll still be able to play.
UNK track will be at the Detcher Memorial this weekend, going on in Crete. And last weekend, we had Cole Wellnitz break the school record in the 1,500-meter run. So that's where we're at. And signing day was last week, so 1 week ago, kind of some old news, but it happened within the last week. Kennedy Sander of state champion Lincoln Pius X and Kenzie Colm of Platteview, the first two signees for Coach Kerry Hofstetter and the women. And we knew Pierce Allman was coming to Kearney to play men's basketball, but made it official last week.
Official paperwork, yeah, and just the way it's set up for basketball, it's just it you know before they have the actual signing day. Usually for football, it's you don't really know for sure what somebody's doing until that day. So it is somewhat anticlimactic with the signing date that comes up here in April.
And that's going to wrap up our Lower Link, brought to you by Russ Smith, Charterwest National Bank of Kearney, offering all types of loans from FHA, VA, RD, and conventional home loans. And for seniors, the reverse mortgage loan. You have the reasons, they have the loans at Charterwest National Bank. Tri-City Storm Hockey head coach Jim Holton joins us after this.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
NMC, the Cat Rental Store, is honored to partner with the Kearney community with the opening of the newest rental store. Located at 2608 East 32nd Street Place, Suite C. NMC Cat Rental is your source for daily, weekly, and monthly rental of high-quality, low-hour cat and top allied brands of equipment and attachments. Contact NMC for your next rental and choose from skid steer loaders, tow-behind booms, generators, and so much more. Visit online nmcrental.com or call 855-NMC-RENT, nmcrental.com.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
One play can change momentum in a game.
Field goal attempt for the corner with 1.6 seconds to play. Now he launches up a shot at the buzzer.
And one deductible is a game changer when it comes to your insurance.
He hits it! A three-point field goal with the state championship.
That's why you should see Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your Farm Bureau agents. They can bundle your car and home together into a single policy. So, if life sends a blitz in the form of a storm or fire,
kidding me.
You'll pay just one deductible for everything that's covered. Talk to Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers today and see how simple it can be. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliates, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
For today, it'll be mostly sunny, high of 57. Winds will be from the north between 5 and 10. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low near 35. For Thursday, partly sunny, high of 61. And Thursday night, chance of rain. Currently, it's 43.
Oh, there's never a right time to say goodbye. But we know that we gotta go a separate way.
Doug and Natty Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Got a lot of excitement going on here in the next couple of weeks. We could be really big. What goes on this time of the year? Well, hopefully we got the Lopers, as we just talked about, doing all this postseason stuff. Hopefully we've got the Storm still playing hockey. We've got the Bosselman this weekend, the Kentucky Derby. You got the Mayweather fight. You got and Pacquiao, Mayweather-Pacquiao fight. You've got the NHL playoffs. You got the NBA playoffs. There's a lot going on.
And just here in town, think about Saturday. If you don't, in Kearney, if you wanted to go watch the spring game, then there's going to be hockey later that night because of how things transpired yesterday. So that Saturday is going to be a full day for me. It's not going to involve as much yard work as I'm supposed to be doing, but still, it'll be a nice day.
Can also watch the Bosselman and still make the hockey.
You could. I don't know if you could do both football and Bosselman.
You could.
Actually, you could.
You couldn't be at Fauna the whole day.
You couldn't be at Fauna the whole day. You could make the Bosselman, though.
We will be at Fauna tomorrow for the drawing of the richest horse race in Nebraska. You kind of say that tongue-in-cheek because it's $75,000, and anywhere else, you know, you're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars and millions, but it is still the biggest event, and it's right here in central Nebraska. And we'll be live at Fauna tomorrow for that. We'll also talk with Rich Heller, the head baseball coach at Iowa. They are red hot on Friday. Nebraska volleyball coach John Cook, because they play Saturday at the event center, the Heartland Event Center in Grand Island. So don't forget
about
that.
There's another thing you can add. Yeah.
So I don't think you can hit all of that. Maybe one set of volleyball and then back over for the hockey. And then also Riker Fife is going to join us on Friday's show. Jack Gangwish is going to join us a little bit later on in this show. Hey, farmers, the 2015 irrigation season is about here. You're trying to get things planted in the ground, and then you want to make sure that they're properly taken care of. Find out why so many growers are moving to T&L's hydrostatically powered pivot irrigation system. Their superior reliability, low maintenance, safety, and the simplicity of T&L's hydraulic design, just a few of the reasons why you should have T&L in your field or fields. Contact your local T&L dealer, or you can go online for more information at TLIRR.com. T&L Irrigation System, like no other. Jim Holton, Jared Shaffron, back with us in studio. This is fun that we have you on so many times this time of the year. That's good things, Jim. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Yes, it's always pleasant, aside from the company. It's
nice. Nice.
Always nice to keep talking hockey, which is important for all of us.
Very nice.
Jared, I'm going to bring you in earlier than usual.
For obvious reasons.
What the hell? Nashville must be the second best team in the NHL. Chicago, triple overtime, double overtime. My selection's already on the ropes.
Well, have you been getting any sleep? Because those games have been on late.
Well, yeah, it was. Well, without divulging too much, it was still. They were going into the third overtime last night when I said, no.
I fell asleep in the second overtime, got woken up by the goal in the third overtime, and then saw that it was over, so flipped off the TV and went to bed.
Do you get to watch much, or is it all scouting and Storm stuff, Jim?
No, my house was like a sports bar last night. I had the computer going with the Sioux Falls, Sioux City game, and a couple TVs going with various games. So this is fun. I still enjoy watching the playoffs just as a fan, kind of shut the analytical part of the brain off and just sit back and enjoy it.
Jim, obviously you want to be careful what you wish for, because now you're playing Sioux Falls instead of Sioux City. It gives you the home ice advantage, but then you have to play a team you split with 3-3. You lost the first three games, won the last three games. Just in general, how do you guys stack up against Sioux Falls?
Well, again, and we've preached it from day one of these playoffs. I don't think there was a favorite in any series on either side, and I think the results have showed that. The four seed knocked off the one seed both in the East and the West. And we've had nothing resembling a normal game against Sioux Falls all season. We've had some goofy games where either team's been up by a lot and almost blowing it, and then there's been twists and turns and drama within each game. So how we match up, I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I think it's, again, a bit of a contrast in styles. They have been playing extremely well on the offensive side of the puck. Our forte has kind of been the defensive side of the puck. So I think we just have to stick with our plan and not deviate from that, and it's going to be a classic offense versus defense.
Well, that kind of takes my next question away about their strengths. Have they become stronger when you watched them a little bit in this playoff? Or are there things that are different than when you were playing them? Have they gotten better somewhere, changed things? What has made them able to get to this point?
Well, they have their coach and GM, Kerry Eads, made a couple very, very significant trades that really altered the outlook of their team. But anytime you make those trades, it takes a bit of time for it to come into fruition. But the proverbial peaking at the right time, I think, describes what is happening with that club. They have two and three lines that can create offense now. That wasn't the case early in the season. They were kind of centered around one unit that did a lot of their scoring, which in turn was easier to shut down. But now they've kind of acquired two or three guys that have really stepped to the plate here offensively. So it changes a bit of the matchups that you have to do. Fortunately for us, one of our strengths has been our depth that we keep talking about, but our defensive depth as well. We have a couple lines that we figure we're confident going head-to-head against. So, again, going to be a great matchup that way.
It's interesting you talk about you guys defensively are a little bit stronger, perhaps, and they're strong on the offensive end. You've won the last two games, but the scores were 5-4 and 7-6. I mean, those aren't defensive scores by any stretch of the imagination.
No, hence, as I said, throw out the song sheet when these two teams get together, because they've been anything but normal. I mean, we were up 7-2 with 10 minutes to go in a game, and darn near lost it. I felt like we were going to lose 9-7 in regulation, and we were up here the last time 4-1 with 10 minutes to go. So I think that's a number one. It's a tribute to how hard they work. One of their calling cards is their compete level is very, very high. They can match up. They're a little bit unorthodox in terms of they'll gamble a lot more than a lot of teams, and I think that caught us by surprise a few times. So that'll be a lot of the video sessions in the next couple of days here, is how to counteract that.
Jim Holton, Jared Shaffron with the Tri-City Storm joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. You were not expecting a sweep either way in this Omaha series, yet that's what happened. Obviously, the game that I was able to attend and watch, to me, tells the story, I guess. I mean, you guys look totally out of it, even though you didn't play horrible the whole first two periods of game two. It's not looking good. And all of a sudden, 4 minutes to go, not only do you tie it, you take the lead, you win it, you carry it over. And a young man in Dan Lebowski, who has a little backstory here, went to college, came back, given the opportunity, and then he scores in both games two and three.
Yeah, Danny was terrific, and I think the tipping point for us in that series was the play of our so-called third and fourth line. The Berger, Lebowski, Allison unit has been red hot for the last couple of weeks, and they were terrific all series. And then the Valisano Eastman Herbert trio was really, really effective. You look at our first game on the road, Valisano scores both goals. He had four goals all year. Lebowski, I think, had seven. He steps up, had a huge series. So it wasn't the so-called superstars or the highlight reel guys, but that's playoffs, and that's what it takes. So that's what I mean when I talk about our depth, in terms of when we get the contributions from four lines, it becomes difficult for other teams to match up against us. But, you know, that series, although it was a sweep, every game hung in the balance, and that one was a perfect example. That was kind of stealing the victory from the jaws of defeat, but it's nice to see the resilience from our team.
Game three, I really kind of thought you outplayed Omaha. Really looked like the much better team. One of the other things I kind of took from watching that on the other night was just how much they're playing for each other. I think at the end of the game, where usually people are working hard to protect the goalie. Well, the goalie, with about 16 seconds to go in the game, saw something going on in front of his net that he didn't like was happening to one of his teammates. He actually charges into the foray a little bit. Talk a little bit about that incident and kind of what that says about your team.
Well, first of all, my initial reaction to the incident was not pleasant. I wasn't pleased with Alex at all. I thought it was a lack of discipline at the wrong time, but then after a couple of minutes of calming down on the bench, I realized, you know, that's what we've been preaching all season, is about having each other's back and being a team. And what better example than that? And sometimes when you deal with teenagers, as anyone that has a teenager at home knows, that there's, especially boys, there's a lot of testosterone, there's a lot of emotion. And hockey's a game of emotion, and sometimes it's a fine line. We're always asking them to play with emotion, but we get upset sometimes when they cross the line. But that's been such a big part of this group, their togetherness and their belief and having each other's back. And I really think that's why we've advanced, because of that emotion. So sometimes when it spills over, it can be a little bit hectic, but it was also entertaining for the fans as well.
Are you worried that it is the goalie? I mean, you want your defensemen to be listening to Megadeth and AC/DC on their headset before the game. You probably want maybe classical music for your goaltender. Is he wired a little bit different that way?
Well, I think every goalie on the planet's wired a little different. I've got two kids at home that are goalies, so there's a precursor when I say that. But no, typically you would prefer to have a calmer disposition, and Alex does. It was a little bit out of character, kind of came right out of left field, but obviously he wanted to get involved in the fray and the action, and We're fortunate that there wasn't a suspension. It didn't spill over. I thought they did a good job of kind of containing it at that time, because things had spilled over, and if that's 10 years ago, that gets real ugly with the way the game was played back then.
So just to clarify, no discipline out of Game 3 that will carry to the next series?
No. Luckily, we had two veteran officials and kind of understand the situation. They just give 10s to everybody. And in fact, Alex only got 2 minutes. He could have stayed. Someone could have served the penalty, but they'd already ushered him off the ice before they figured that all out.
Jim Holton, Jared Shaffrin with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. I want to go back to the scoring. None of these were high-scoring games from your standpoint. So how do you get your superstars involved? It's nice to have the kids that stepped up and did what they did, but if you're going to win a championship, big boys step up in big boy time, another cliche, however you want to say that. Is there some chatting with those guys?
No, because I think we experienced a growth even within those three games of our top-end guys, getting used to playing in traffic. And when I think of our power play, the numbers might not have been staggering. I think we were 2 for 14, but extremely timely. The game that you were at, the comeback win, the power play comes through. Hadn't looked very good. Comes through with a very big goal from Mason Appleton off of a Wilkie shot, a rebound that ties the game and gets some momentum all in our favor. And then the deciding game, it's 2-1 going into the third. You know, they're a bounce away from being back in the game, and Wilkie hits an absolute bomb on the power play a minute in to give us a 2-goal cushion. So that showed me that they're understanding that part of being a superstar is being patient and waiting for your opportunities, knowing that the opportunities are going to be minimized. So you have to make the most of those. And I saw a real growth out of our Appleton, Wilkie in particular, just kind of figuring that out as those three games went. So hopefully that experience continues to grow here.
I don't know if we're over-evaluating this a little bit in terms of now you guys have the home ice advantage potentially from here on out. You have the best record left, obviously, of all the teams. Does that come with extra pressure, or is that not a thought that your kids have coming into this series at all?
Well, it's a thought, but maybe not as in the degree that a lot of fans would think. I think for our guys, the fact that we don't have to travel is big this weekend. We don't have to go anywhere. We can stay right here. And then the biggest reason you want home ice is that it ever goes to 5 games, which when you get down to this series, it's a very good likelihood. To have the home crowd behind you and not have to go into a hostile environment is important, but Sioux Falls just proved last night that it's not an insurmountable object. But right now, I honestly believe it's just about getting in the right mindset no matter what rink you're in, and kind of getting in a bubble and pushing aside any distractions, whether it be crowd, whether it be anything else, and just focus on our game.
Tickets are on sale for both 1 and 2, Friday night, 7:30. Saturday now is also at home at 7:05. Catch it on the Breeze, 94.5. But go out and support the hockey team. This is what we've been waiting for, and they will be playing at home this weekend. May 5th, by the way, if you want to scratch that on your calendar, is the possibility of a Game 5. And, Jared, you've actually, the Storm, have been able to throw a promotion together for this weekend.
Yeah, we thought about it, and we're excited about having the opportunity to even play these games. Let's get this building packed. $2 soda, $2 hot dogs before the puck drops. 1,500 rally towels. They're ordered. They're on their way to Kearney. They look pretty good. They are purple this time, and they got the Clark Cup logo on it. So hopefully fans getting excited, get them into the game. 1,500 rally towels, and it's a free kids Friday as well. So if you've got a family, you get a free kids ticket with the purchase of an adult ticket. So that's a great deal, and definitely come ahead and take advantage of it. That's all on Friday night. Still working on some things maybe for Saturday night. We just found out about it last night, but those are all for Friday night's game.
If you're looking for a Saturday promotion to fill the place, I've got a couple of suggestions that have come in here to the Dent Popper inbox. There's free beer night. There's cheerleader night. There's
disco demolition night. That went well. And that went.
There's all kinds of things going on. It is busy, and I'll tell you what. From being there on Thursday night to hear the place, and let's face it, it wasn't packed. I don't know what the estimate was, about 1,000 probably. And we can get into that whole thing at another time. But if there's 3,500 or 4,000 in there, I can't even imagine the roof would blow off the way that those last 4 minutes played out. And if they get that opportunity again, I mean, you can help cheer this team on to a Clark Cup championship. And, Coach, the kids have put it out there on the ice. The fans sure appreciate it. We just need to get them all there at the same time.
Well, absolutely, and you're right. what we might have lacked in bodies, we made up for in vocalness, because that's as loud as I've heard the building all year. And it gives you chills, and then the players feed off it, and especially junior hockey, that's a big part of it. And we talk about home ice advantage. That's the one thing. Your crowd can become an intimidating factor. It makes your bench about 2 inches higher and theirs about 6 inches lower, and I think that was perfectly evident in that game.
And again, you guys have had tremendous amount of success at home. I mean, your record, I think you lost one late, but at one time I think it was like 16-3 at home or 16-2 at home. So the home ice advantage has worked very, very well for you, and it's great to have that for potentially the next two series, but you got to take care of this one first before you worry about the second one.
Absolutely. The focus right now is just on Friday night. Once we get through Friday, we'll worry about Saturday after that. But the fun part now is we know who we're going to play finally, so we can crack away on that. We've been on the video machines all morning, and this is the fun part for all of us.
When's the draft, guys?
It's coming up. It's May 4th and 5th, actually. So it's actually, there's a potential that the second phase of the draft will be the morning of Game 5 of this series, which is a little quirky.
Let's take care of this. we got to focus. We'll talk about that, because I'm sure we'll talk again before the draft takes place, because it's unusual right now to have both of that going on from our standpoint. But Jim, anything else we need to know about this series that we haven't brought up? I hope we covered it all.
No, I think we covered it all. I think it's going to be great hockey, similar to anybody that came out to the Omaha series. I think it's going to be very, very physical. Hopefully not maybe to the degree the Omaha series was, but it's two teams that have played, as I said off the top, some strange games, but highly entertaining and highly competitive. So I look for the trend to continue.
And Nashville can still come back and take the Hawks out?
Oh, absolutely.
Guys, best of luck. Home games Friday, Saturday. Folks, get out there. StormHockey.com, Vero Event Center. Pick up your tickets. Jared Schaffer, the voice of the Storm, head coach Jim Holton. Guys, best of luck.
Thanks very much. Really appreciate the support.
We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show, back in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, because we're going to give you a chance to win before the end of the show a pair of tickets, or a family four-pack of tickets, Nebraska Danger. They're also home Friday, so they got indoor football. Grand Island, Kearney, Hastings, I got all kinds of stuff going on. I got a Legion Baseball Banquet in Hastings. I'm going to tell you about that coming up this weekend. We're going to give you a chance, though, to win the Danger tickets, and we've got Jack Gangwish, Nebraska defensive end out of Wood River, when we return.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Crete and Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Crete and Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better, with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner, because he cares. OneRocky.com.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
If you're hoppy and you know it, then you need to get your tickets to this year's Hastings Downtown Do the Brew. Taste dozens of craft beers and enjoy live music at this fundraiser for the Hastings Art Council. Do the Brew will be held April 25th at the Hastings City Auditorium. Tickets are available at the Hastings Area Chamber of Commerce, Murphy's Wagon Wheel, or Wine Styles. Be hoppy and know it at the Hastings Downtown Do the Brew, April 25th. Please drink responsibly. Designated driver.
One of the most important things we can teach our kids is driving. Safe, proper driving habits keep your child safe from accidents long after they get their license. If you're looking for a new career or promotion, CDL and truck driving classes are available too. More details and registrations are available on the Nebraska Safety Center's website. The Nebraska Safety Center is here to serve your needs of driver education and other traffic-related classes.
Friday show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac. They are expanding, Randy. They are expanding.
Continuing to grow, and there's a reason that businesses grow. It means they're probably doing fairly well for themselves because they're getting repeat business. They're doing it right the first time.
They're proud of the Best of Kearney New Car Dealer Award for 2015 and say thank you for your business. And it just goes to show that they take care of you better than anyone else in the area. Midway has a variety of 2014s that they're moving off the lot. They continue to move them off, so the selection is starting to dwindle, but they still have some very quality items for you. And of course, if you're looking for trucks, how about the Chevy Silverado 1500, 2500? They're all there for you. And of course, if you're looking in the pre-owned department, they can take care of you there as well. How about some of those pre-owned cars? Here's a 2009 Pontiac G6 for just over $13,000. They've got everything from the 2012 Silverado truck for $26,700. You can get yourself a 2012 Ford F-150 for just under $29,000. Your price range, the year, the miles, whatever, they've got it all there for you. Great selection. And if you are looking to be a part of the Midway team, go to MidwayCareers.com. If you want to see the selection, you can go online to ThinkMidway.com and find out a whole lot more. The Midway Auto Dealership, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Well, the Nebraska Danger are playing Bemidji Friday night at home. Mike Davis and the crew going to try and get to 7-1 on the season. Heartland Events Center, kickoff is set for 7 o'clock. I've got a family four-pack of tickets. If you have not won this Nebraska Danger set of tickets here in the portion of the season, you are eligible. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776, 888-455-3776. Nebraska baseball team has played this school more than anyone in history. Nebraska has played 278 games against this opponent, which is more than anyone in history. I would not have got it right, Randy.
I did get it right.
Randy did just, get it right.
Just for the record, I got it right.
Who are we chatting with?
This is Kirk.
Kirk, do you know the answer? Nebraska's played this team 278 times in baseball more than anyone else.
Oh, boy. Missouri
is the second most games played. Try back. 888-455-ESPN. Who are we chatting with?
Jim.
Do you know the answer? Nebraska baseball has played this team more than anyone in school history.
Kansas State.
Kansas State is right. 278 times. They beat Kansas State 10-4 last night. Of course, as we were talking off air, you had to think it was a conference team from all the way back in the Big 8, if not pre.
Big 6?
But I wouldn't have guessed Kansas. I would have guessed Kansas probably first, and maybe even down into Oklahoma. But that's not the case. Kansas State is right. Hey, hang on the line, and Brent will hook you up here with a four-pack of tickets for Friday night's game against Bemidji, okay?
Awesome, thank you.
There you go. Jack Gangler is going to join us here in just a second, but a couple of other sports notes to get to here before we get into the interview with Jack. And we've talked the hockey, the Royals, another nice come-from-behind win. They've been strong in the eighth inning.
Yeah. And again, it helps that they have a fairly strong bullpen where they can go, and obviously their closer is one of the best in baseball right now, but they can – they play
and
nine
he's
innings.
On the DL.
Yeah, and they
he's on the DL.
And they get to play nine innings, whereas other teams have the opportunity to score in maybe only about seven. And over the course of a year, that is going to pay off a lot of dividends for the Royals.
And what Randy's saying is, with such a great closer, you know,
you're not scoring in the once everybody's healthy, you're not scoring in the ninth inning. So you're going to have nine innings. They're going to only have eight, and then it even expands a little bit further than that.
We talked about the Loper baseball and softball. Hastings baseball split a doubleheader with Dakota Wesleyan. It is a tight race to see where everybody lands or just to get into the GPAC tournament. A four-way tie for sixth right now, and they will host Nebraska Wesleyan tomorrow. Hastings College softball, 5-4 and 4-3 loss to Doan. That makes Doan the regular season champion, and they will host York tomorrow. Nebraska softball crushed Creighton yesterday by a score of 11-1. There has to be a backstory. Ron Brown is leaving Youngstown State and Bo Pelini to go to Liberty and join Turner Gill as the wide receivers coach before he ever was coaching a game at Youngstown.
If you ask me where Ron Brown is a better fit, is it with Bo Pelini or is it at a faith-based school like Liberty? To me, that seems somewhat obvious to me.
I think the sad thing is Ron Brown is a much better coach than Liberty University. I don't know about Turner. He's the head coach.
Right, right.
Yeah. Ron Brown should be at a Division I football program.
I would agree with that. And honestly, I think that Bo Pelini felt that as well. I think he was able to say to Ron, hey, I got your back. I am a safety net for you. I guarantee you that you'll have a job if it's with me. But if there's something else out there that fits you better, so be it. So I actually think that Pelini and Brown's relationship, this isn't a sign that they have a bad relationship. I think the fact that he was hired in the first place is an indication that they actually had a very good relationship, if that makes sense.
Nebraska spring game wrapped up earlier this month, and Jack Gangwish, Riker Fife, we've talked with the Kearney Catholic kids and Holtmeyer and Conley, and we've got just a slew of kids down there, Randy. We've been talking about how they are in the program, but only a couple of them are actually seeing some playing time, and Jack Gangwish, who we're going to talk to in a second, has really exploded onto the scene.
Well, he filled in admirably for a guy that could be dang near a lottery pick in the NFL. He filled in very well for Randy Gregory, and you know, don't want to say that he didn't skip a beat, but boy, he sure filled in. And what he didn't put out there in terms of Randy Gregory's numbers, his enthusiasm, his energy, that's really kind of been the strong suit of what Jack Gangwish brings to bear.
And Jack's with us. He takes a little time out from his busy day to join us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Jack, boy, what a difference a year makes, huh?
Yeah, it's been a big year for me.
Talk about, and I chuckle because as we do research for all of our guests, they still kind of got the old pictures up on Huskers.com. I don't know if that's your freshman picture, but you sure look a lot different. Do you feel a lot different?
Yeah, definitely. You know, that picture seems to find its way into some of the programs and that sort of thing. And, you know, I catch a little crap about that because I think my neck might have grown like 2 or 3 inches since then.
Jack, yeah. A lot has changed, as you mentioned, that last year. Did you really kind of ever envision kind of being in this position where, to a great extent, you're now become the face of the defense?
Well, you know, a year ago, I knew that there's a good chance that Randy was going to get out of here. And, you know, I was hoping that I was going to have the opportunity to have a lot bigger responsibility on our defense. So I guess I just didn't realize how big that opportunity was going to be.
Jack Gangwish is with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We've had more opportunity to talk with Jack over the last year, and there's more reason to, and I think we'll probably hit a couple of things here that we've talked about before, but I've got a couple of questions that I think our listeners would definitely be interested in. You filled in more for Randy towards the end of the season, and I remember talking to you after you had the very, very good game against Iowa and coming out of that locker room. Could you share with us again what was kind of going through your mind? Because I always got the feeling that you and the rest of the players knew that that was the end of the line for the coaching staff, but yet really couldn't say anything. Is there any truth to that?
Well, you know, not personally, not for me. I mean, at that point, I thought, you know, well, we won this game. You know, we had, you know, some good wins, but also some not so good losses that year. And I didn't really know what the future held. We were just kind of enjoying the day. It was a big win for us, and we were really excited.
Jack, obviously, when that happens, I think there's a little bit of a surprise. There's the shock. There might even be a little bit of mourning process. Talk a little bit about dealing with it, beginning with that week, Coach Pelini coming in and kind of saying goodbye, and then that transition to an entirely new coaching staff.
Well, you know, it's something that it's hard for players. I mean, you know, they get us out of high school, take us out of our homes at 18, and they come up here to the university, and anything that you need, anything that goes on with your life, it happens with these coaches. I mean, you spend every single day either with the strength and conditioning staff, the training staff, the coaching staff, you know, any of those guys, they're they're kind of your rock in some situations. I mean, a lot of these guys are up here from California or Texas or Florida, and family's a long ways away. And, you know, these coaches play a big part in our lives. They're a big deal to us. And, you know, in addition to all that, they're our friends and in a way kind of our coworkers too. So, you know, for it to come to that, for them to all be fired like that, you know, I think, you know, maybe myself a little bit and a lot of guys felt like the rug had kind of been pulled out from underneath them. It's a tough situation. There is a little bit of a mourning process. You know, I was with those coaches for 4 years and spent I don't know how many thousands of hours in the meeting room, and for them just to be gone like that was hard to believe. It's kind of crazy. But you know, this new staff has come in and they've treated us really well. And our guys are super excited about football. They're excited about the work we're getting done, and the new defense, and you know, I think all of us are really hopeful for the future.
Chat with defensive end Jack Gangwish out of Wood River, going to go into his senior season with the Huskers. Waited his turn. His turn is now here. And I guess from a coaching standpoint, from who you had to who you have now, what's a major difference, if there is a major difference, in their coaching style and maybe something you've already learned from the new staff?
Well, you know, I have my new coach, Coach Hank Hughes. He's a good guy. We've really enjoyed working with him so far. I'd say the biggest difference as opposed to our last staff is that is in his technique. I mean, he's asking us to do a lot of things that are 180 degrees opposite of what we've done in the past. You know, so that's kind of a learning experience, especially for some of our older guys. It takes a little bit for that sort of thing to come along. Another big difference is it's his attitude about, you know, how to handle players and how to, you know, his day-to-day demeanor is quite a bit different. And, you know, there's, we're,
just a little bit.
Sorry about that. Yeah. You know, it's all good. I mean, we're really enjoying it. And I think there's good things to come for the D-line.
And one of the things also different, Jack, is now you're a senior. You've started a few games last year. There is that leadership role. One of the things that has always been talked about with you is your work ethic. Is that how you lead the team? Are you also vocal with that? What kind of leadership role do you see yourself taking this final year?
Well, I guess you kind of mentioned it there that, you know, I'm a senior now. That makes the leadership role easier. The other thing is, you know, I've had a lot more playing time experience now. You know, I hadn't played any snaps at all before this last season, and even with those two things, you know, without being a senior and without having any playing time, I still kind of fell into a leadership role in some situations because of my work ethic. You know, I think the guys sometimes kind of look at me as a pretty tough individual, and you know, sometimes we'd be in summer workouts and things get hard, and you know, I'd be a guy that's saying go, 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 you know, not worried about, you know, what my personal pain was like or any of that sort of thing. So I think that's something that I've kind of always had, and now that I'm a senior, now that, you know, I've had some playing time, that role comes a little bit more naturally to me. And I am pretty vocal in that sense. I think I think I'm one of the guys that can contribute and be a positive factor. So I try to be vocal and express that.
Jack Gangwish with us for another couple minutes here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Jack, are there other guys on the team like you that show their emotion, that have that Nebraska passion like you have shown?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I guess as a group all together, we, you know, I'm with the defense every day, so I got to shout out my defense guys. You know, I think we got some guys who love this game, and they're excited about getting out there and doing their thing. And, you know, I guess there'd be a whole list of guys I could say that go out there with some fire and just are just pumped to be able to do what we do.
one thing that did kind of carry over, at least it did in the spring game, from what you guys have done the last couple of years, is coming out of the tunnel with the American flag. And we didn't ask you about that after the spring game in the press conference. I know that Chris Schmidt and the boys on our Hail Varsity program, when you were on last week, asked you about it. Can you just kind of rehash how that happens and what it was like leading the team out?
Well, yeah. Well, I guess the way it happened was Mark Pelini used to do our prayer all the time, and he graduated. And I was the only one on the team still who had done it before. So coming up on the spring game, they asked me if I'd say the prayer, and I obliged. And they also asked me to carry the flag, and obviously I'm going to do that. I mean, that's like coolest thing. Coolest part of the tunnel walk, I think. Pretty awesome deal. Get to run out in front of, you know, a bunch of screaming Nebraska fans carrying the stars and bars. That's a pretty big deal. So I was, it was incredible. You know, coming out of the tunnel, I forget what there was there, 76,000 or something like that. But everyone's excited. There's electricity in the air. It was a good day for me.
Jack, you have a lot of fun with this. I mean, you play with an energy, you bring an enthusiasm. Your Twitter game is very strong in terms of the humor that you kind of put out there. How much fun? I mean, I just want to wrap my mind around how good is it right now to be Jack Anguish and have the fun that you're having?
Well, you know, I try to enjoy every single day, and you know, I think the reason that I have so much fun with everything is that. You know, I spent a lot of time in the trenches. I was here for 3 years, and I wasn't a guy that was going to fall camp. I wasn't getting any playing time. I wasn't making special teams. Just every single day, it was just a grind, you know. And it was hard. I mean, that's a long road to take. But, you know, now that I finally have an opportunity to get out there and do my thing, I'm just trying to live it up, enjoy every single second of it. The other thing that I think is important is that, you know, people feed off that. You know, it's a group thing. And if I'm going to contribute to the way our group is performing, I want it to be something positive. I want guys to be excited with me. So I view my energy out there as something that can be beneficial to our team.
Do you envision, as Coach says, hey, yeah, we're going to let you play special teams, or was that just a spring game deal?
Well, I don't think any major decisions have been made about the roster as far as special teams for the season, but he instilled some hope in me that I may be a permanent fixture on the kickoff and punt teams. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Well, you need to have a little bit of crazy in you, Jack, to play special teams. Do you feel you're qualified for that?
You know, I sure like to think so. You know, I've been viewed for a long time as somebody with a pretty hard head and not scared to lay the wood once in a while. So when I got the opportunity to run down on kickoff, I thought that'd be a pretty good fit for me.
All right, Jack, I got to ask you about it because you got the notoriety. I haven't seen as much of it, and I'm not on Twitter. Have you gotten away from the raccoon selfies?
No, I haven't. It seems to follow me everywhere I go.
I knew we were sitting here doing the show. We laughed. We're Nebraskans. We know what it's all about being in farm country. But I knew Jack Gangwish's name was going to hit the big time when that baby came out. So I'm sure you maybe learned something from that, did you? And I know it's now kind of something we don't have to talk about anymore. But, hey, I still thought it was funny.
Well, yes, sir. It's definitely a learning experience for me. You know, and the other thing that's kind of crazy is just how big it blew up. I mean, even at the spring game and, you know, that sort of thing, I see, even at the bowl game, I saw people wearing coonskin hats and that kind of thing. Just crazy, you know. I had no idea that something like that would come of it.
Being a farm boy from Wood River, obviously Nebraska is kind of a national brand. You got teammates from across the country, from bigger cities, that sort of thing. Have you been able to bring some of them out to the farm? Have you been able to kind of introduce them to what life is like in Wood River compared to what they're used to?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, I've had a bunch of the guys out to the farm, meet my family, see what the farm's like, that sort of thing. And, you know, some of these guys, you know, they can't believe that, you know, between every town, You know, there's an area without people in it. There's essentially cornfields. You know, they're like, you mean, you know, when every town stops because there's no more town. I was like, yeah. So between my town and the next town is, you know, 15 miles of fields.
I'm guessing they haven't seen many gravel.
Difference from where they're from.
They haven't seen many gravel roads, have they?
No, they haven't.
Well, Jack, I know we're going to get to share some more stories as the year progresses and as you make it through your senior year. So stay healthy, have a great summer, and hopefully we'll see you around, and definitely we'll see you this fall.
Thanks, Doug.
Thanks, Jack. Jack Gangwish joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Like I said, he's good for the media.
Yes. You know, and his, like I said, his Twitter game is strong. I'm kind of the Twitter ambassador, or the ambassador for Twitter. He tweeted out this morning, update, I woke up in the best state in the nation. My old truck cranked right up, and I still play for the greatest team in the land, GBR.
There you go. That's Jack Gangwish. Friday, Riker Fife is going to join us. We've had a chance to talk to Mr. Conley and Mr. Holtmeyer, and we'll also try and track down a couple of more out there. We're not forgetting about Fulte and McNitt and some of the other guys from, depending on how far you want to stretch the listening area, Rory Giltner and such. So we've got that for you. Hey, also want to remind you that for your Hastings American Legion, their first pitch banquet is this Friday night at the Hastings City Auditorium. Doors open at 5:30. With free beverages while they last. Murphy's Wagon Wheel Barbecue Dinner starts at 7. There's a Hall of Fame introduction. Legion teams will be announced. There's raffles, a silent auction, and a live auction. Of course, it's all to help get things funded for Hastings American Legion Baseball this summer, and that is this Friday night. Doors open at 5:30, and the meal begins at 7 at the Hastings City Auditorium.
Another thing to kind of add to the list of great things sporting-wise to be able to go to this weekend. Honestly, folks, get out there and go do something. Or two or three different things. There's a lot of great opportunities this weekend.
We are so over time, but there's a couple things I still want to catch on here. Nebraska didn't take long to fill their women's basketball post, less than 2 weeks here. Former Oklahoma standout guard in Brittany Brown looks like a very good get for the Huskers women. She was at Tulsa after spending a little time in high school coaching and then with Oklahoma after her graduation. And this just came down. More on the men's basketball team. Nebraska is going to play men's basketball at Big East champion Villanova next year. It's the inaugural Gavitt tip-off, and that will be Tuesday, November 17th, their first meeting since 1998-99 season. The event named after Dave Gavitt, the late Big East commissioner and basketball Hall of Famer. Penn State, Maryland, Illinois, Creighton at Indiana, they're going to play. There's another one for you, so that's just as big as Nebraska-Villanova. Creighton, Indiana, Iowa, Marquette, Xavier, Michigan, Georgetown, Maryland, just a few of the matchups. This isn't a tournament. This is just a single game deal.
Yeah, and that's one of those things like the Big Ten, the ACC showdown that they have as well. Exact same thing, except obviously different conference.
Villanova has beaten Nebraska both times they've played in the Maui Classic back in 87 and the Top of the World Classic, which was in Alaska back in 1998. Our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Should Major League Baseball consider changing the way it handles suspensions for bench-clearing brawls? We told you what was handed down to the Royals pitchers for thumping Oakland's Lowry in the weekend series.
A started it.
Yeah, well, but he gets nothing.
I know.
That's crap.
Yeah, it really kind of is.
That's
you come up with spikes high, taking out a guy at second base, actually cause an injury, nothing. But if you throw at somebody, not hitting them, mind you, but at somebody, you can get suspended.
64% of the voters says that things are just fine the way Major League Baseball handles their business in this area. The city of Los Angeles continues to talk about a $1.7 billion stadium that could share and house both the Chargers and Raiders. Would this be a good thing? From central Nebraska, I say no NFL team, the most popular sport in this country,
is not in the largest city.
It's not in the largest city, but you shouldn't have to share. And then San Diego's without a team.
Well, but New York does.
I don't like it.
But New York shares a stadium.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think that that model works very, very well. I'm shocked it hasn't happened already, because it seems to me if you had NFL teams in L.A., that'd be a license to print money. I'm shocked that it hasn't happened already.
Good point. Well, the NFL schedules came out last night, and we will get more to that as the week progresses. We've got a break to take here, so let's do that and wrap things up on the Doug and Daddy Show after this.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Have you ever seen a rusty fish? The same way scales protect the fish from his environment, the Armacoating spray-on bed liners from the Dent Popper protects your pickup bed. No rust, no dents, no scratches, no chemical corrosion. So your truck has a longer work life and holds its value longer. Reduces load slippage, and here's a bonus, it quiets the ride. See the Dent Popper north of Railroad on First, on the bricks, downtown Kearney, and get a free estimate for an Armacoating spray-on bed liner. Guaranteed for as long as you own your truck.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
Life doesn't stop when you've got a big event like graduation. It just makes you busier. Copycat Printing in Kearney understands. Their talented design staff will create a unique, one-of-a-kind invite just for you. They'll design it, create it, and deliver your invitations. So relax. Copycat Printing in Kearney will make your invitation a priority, so you don't have to. Visit KearneyCopycat.com and like Copycat Printing on Facebook for great printing discounts.
Memo to all bosses from Bob Sass Flowers. This is Professional Secretaries Week. Stop worrying about work for just a moment and show your gratitude and appreciation for those who make your life easier. Hi, this is Dave from Bob Sass Flowers. We have countless ways to help you say thank you, including beautiful fresh flowers, blooming plants, and many other unique gift ideas. Contact Bob Sass Flowers. We'll help you put flowers on your secretary's desk, and you'll notice more smiles around the office.
Healthy Kids Weekend, bike ball and a bike rodeo, storybook walk and Safe Kids Day, Kearney CrossFit agility course, family mall walk, archery's human maze, free weekend at the Y and Elks Country Golf. Top it all off with Bicycle Sunday. The song doesn't rhyme, but that's not a prop. Activate BuffaloCounty.com, April 25th and 26th. Come on out and be healthy, kids. This message brought to you by community partners and safe routes to school.
Doug and Daddy Show to wrap it up. I was just looking more at the Dallas Cowboys schedule. They have a home. They play that home Thanksgiving game, and around that four away games. Away, they go to Tampa and Miami, come back home on the short week to play Carolina on Thanksgiving, and then they go on the road for the next two games. Huh? That's but whatever. Pittsburgh fan, I know there's a lot of you out there. You have the toughest schedule according to last year. That never pans out.
You know what? And here's what it is. What would an average schedule be? Well, you're playing a 500 team. Theirs is 0.578 instead of 0.5.
Yeah.
So 0.78. So what is that? Half of a win more?
You okay with Miami?
What I don't like about the Dolphins' schedule is, well, one thing I do like is most of their games in December are at home. So they're a tropical team. They get to play at home instead of playing in the snow in Buffalo in December. That's good. What's bad and always bothers me about the Dolphins' schedule, and if they were better, they'd be on primetime a little bit more. Two primetime games all season long. First one is halfway through the season. That's it.
New England never has to play the tough teams on the road. You can joke about the Cowboys, but they have to go to the Cowboys. They have to go to the Broncos this year. And if the Texans get better, maybe. But at least this year.
Well, that's set by a formula, so you can't really say the NFL's doing that to them. It's set by a formula.
I just beg to differ. Look back. That is always something that has stuck out to me, that New England, when they play these big-time games, you know, when they're Denver.
But it's set by formula. It's set by a computer. They're lucky that way.
They get the better
of the deal.
Trust
me, I'm not defending the Patriots.
Hey, we want to thank UNK football coach Josh Lamerson and Brad Kurnick of the Loper football backers for coming into the show today. Jim Holton, Jared Schaffer of the Tri-City Storm, Jack Gangwish, defensive end out of Wood River, starting for the Huskers this fall. For all joining us on the show tomorrow. Tomorrow we will talk with Rick Heller, Iowa baseball coach, and we will be live at Fauner Park for the drawing for the annual Gus Fauner Bosselman horse race, and we will have Jim Langens going over with me, and we'll have the draw and a couple of interviews from over there. So we're keeping busy, and then John Cook, Nebraska volleyball coach, and Riker Fife among our guests Friday. Randy, find something to do.
Yeah, there's something this weekend. I should be able to make a couple things anyway.
We'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game. Hey.